Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. I'm Kwaji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest, Dr. Arjuna Kupe, is a leading researcher and expert in the field of tourism, sustainable cultural practices, and leadership for societal change. Dr. Arjuna, with her partners, has led the conversation in promoting domestic and regional tourism in West Africa since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. She tells me the tourism roundtable engagement with stakeholders have renewed a new sense of excitement for tourism in the SAP region.
Welcome to the Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined by Arjuna Kupe. Did I get your name right?
More or less, it's Arjuna.
I have to try. You know, it's unpardonable. But how have you been keeping in the midst of COVID?
I'm doing well. I'm thankful we're still here. And I think that's the most important thing.
Okay, perfect. Now let's get the conversation going. You've been very passionate about tourism in West Africa, and you know, in your last article that you put out, you mentioned the problems that had to do with tourism growth, domestic tourism development in West Africa specifically, and then you've been engaged in a number of things in Nigeria. Can you tell us what you've been doing in this period? This very difficult period of COVID.
Right, thank you so much, Kojo, and it's such an honor to be here and looking forward to a conversation on tourism, which is one of my passions, and hopefully we can get a lot of tourism development happening in West Africa. So in terms of what I've been doing during COVID, part of, and I'm just going back a bit now, but part of what we've been able to do is to have been part of this COVID-19 relief committee in Lagos State, which was looking at supporting and helping practitioners, particularly micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, and saying what are the issues, how do we help them to recover, and how can the government and how the ministry as well can help them to recover. And then in that time as well, we've also worked on the Lagos State Tourism Master Plan. We've looked at the update and seen, okay, with COVID, how do we ensure that this master plan is still relevant in this world? And also, how do we infuse within it inclusive tourism as well as domestic tourism, because the realities of the world have changed. And then within that as well, we're now working on seeing how we can do capacity development, human capital development, capacity building in the tourism space. So we've just been commissioned to do that. And so it's going to be a busy few months. But what I'm excited about, Kojo, is the sense that now people are taking tourism seriously. And now there seems to be this sense of, let us make sure we come up with solutions that can work for our own environment. I think that's important.
Okay. No, excellent. But what is the feeling you gather from the stakeholders when you organize the first roundtable discussion to be able to keep up enthusiasm for domestic tourism and regional tourism? What was the response from the stakeholders?
Right. Incidentally, we have the third one tomorrow. The third roundtable is tomorrow, and we're oversubscribed. We normally want, you know, a certain number of people, and we have doubled that. I don't know how we're going to do it. But what it's showing is that there's a space for conversation. There's a space for critique, and there's a space for development, and we're providing that space. And I find that to be very important, but also to be a privilege to say that we've identified a need. And what it is the West Africa Tourism Roundtable is really saying that, you know, there's challenges in West Africa that are similar across the board. How do we start to talk about this within ourselves, within the industry? How do we move the boundary forward? How do we learn? But beyond that, it's also saying that the tourism industry intersects with so many other industries, right? And in that sense, the nodes that exist, how do we connect those nodes with other practitioners? So, for example, the one we have tomorrow is looking at health, safety, and security in the tourism space. So we have medical doctors, we have security experts, we have data protection, consumer protection. So I would say that what is exciting is that you have all of these people, as well as tourism practitioners, joining online and joining in person and creating a space for constructive conversation, right? that is looking at moving the West Africa tourism industry forward? Because we do have a lot to catch up on when we compare ourselves to our counterparts in Southern Africa as well as East Africa.
Okay. Now, I think that it's good to talk about these conversations. But again, I mean, like you said, we have a lot that we can be proud of, and also we can maximize in terms of tourism. But, you know, as you know, as a professional, that people like to get what, value for money. And if you want to travel from here to Senegal or travel from here to Gambia and within a West African sub-region, sometimes you have to even go to Europe and come back. If you compare that to East Africa or Southern Africa, okay, the end user or the traveler don't necessarily care about trying to be overly patriotic in traveling in West Africa when factors such as these do not favor them.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I was just going to the fact that how engaged or how involved is, if you like, we don't want to overburden in the central government, but in terms of federal government or state government, how involved are they in this kind of conversations for it to precipitate, a certain new sense of doing things?
Again, it's this sense of chicken and egg, right? What comes first? Is it the government or the people? I think the example you've given about East Africa and Southern Africa is a very good one. But then I would also say that, as we were told at the first roundtable that Cyril gave us the numbers, Tanzania's travel Tanzania and East Africans travel East Africa. About 80% of travel in East Africa is by other East Africans. And that's what we need. We need to start understanding that. We need to start having the data for that. But we also need to design the products around that that will support and encourage this, such that, yes, the travel routes that exist might be outside of the continent, but there's a business reason for that. And so business will go where there's opportunity for it. How do we start to create that market here? And how do we start to create that business? And that's what we're also engaging government with. At the moment, we're looking at working with, government at the federal level. We've been asked to work with them to say, how can they harmonize within the country, across the state. I've also done a ministerial briefing with, tourism ministers across the continent in preparation for a conference that they have on tourism investment in Africa. And so I would say that as we have more of these platforms and we share more of this knowledge, the idea is that we're able to then bring it back to our different practices. We're able to bring it back to our different, spaces of operation and say, how do we move that forward? Knowing that, and that's what is very important for me personally and also for Red Clay, knowing that the journey isn't a sole journey. We have to work with others. We have to work with other people in the industry. We have to collaborate. We have to create these opportunities. I would say that once we start to do that and we start to give government the solutions that they need, right? Again, constructive. And we start to provide these solutions, then we can only move forward. Because what's the alternative, Kojo? We just wait for who? For somebody else to do what? We have to do it ourselves.
No, I agree with you. Now, Red Clay as an organizer, what are you seeking to achieve, in terms of something that we can, we can take it up? Because, you're organizing this roundtable. There's an overall objective. There's a big plan. What are some of the things that you believe that motivated you guys to get this thing started?
Yes. So one of the reasons is that this conversation, we've been having it for a few years with different parties, right? Again, I was looking to collaborate. I was looking to work with other people, but I found that we were having these conversations, but nothing was happening. And so I feel like COVID gave us a good time to reset, to pause. And I just looked and said, you know what, we have to refocus. We have to be clear on what we want to achieve. So one thing is that we wanted to professionalize the sector. We wanted to bring to the fore the professionals in the sector because understandably, there are some people who see our industry as a stopgap between what they're doing and what they really want to do. And we wanted to change that focus and say the tourism industry is a very important one. And it can be a very powerful one for economic and social, cultural, as well as environmental development. The second one was that we wanted to bring these industry leaders together in a room or in different rooms for those joining virtually and have constructive sessions. Sessions that were led to us saying, what is the challenge? What is the question? How do we solve it? And then have various industries who intersect come. So providing a strong space for cross-pollination of ideas. And then the final one is that we create opportunities. From the first roundtable, I have people that have gotten consultancy opportunities. I've also had people that have said, oh my goodness, I was looking for this. I thought I had to bring it in from South Africa. I didn't realize it was available. So we've had few of those. We've had opportunities. We've had partnerships, collaborations, which would not have happened otherwise, or at least not at that exact time. And that gives us so much joy and so much fulfillment, because for us, that's already what success is. And we can only hope to build on that going forward. And it's also been good for us as a business. You know, it's showing that we care about what's happening in the industry, and we care about what's happening, and that we're not about just building things for ourselves and seizing opportunities for ourselves. We're about bringing these opportunities to other players too.
Okay. Now, obviously doing this in a very special season where we have the ferocious coronavirus pandemic. How have you taken that, you know, into your plans, you know, in terms of what you want to roll out or what people are suggesting, you know, at this roundtable? And if I may want to add, you know, as well, how do you think Africa, okay, or even like West Africa, can be in a better position to recover from this pandemic as a world, you know, begin a certain form of recovery?
One advantage of the roundtables, and I would like to thank our event partners for that, Radisson Blu, Victoria Island, who have kindly understood our vision and supported us in doing this, is that we have been able to see that our challenges are similar across West Africa. We have also been able to see that they are not as difficult or insurmountable. So people are learning from others. So again, even when, you know, when we've had the roundtable sessions and had presenters, people say, oh goodness, okay, I can look at it this way, or I can look at it this way, right? And then going forward, it's that sense of hope. It's creating a sense of vision. You know, when you have a vision, you have a place you want to go, it's easier to get there because you have a destination. What COVID had done was that COVID had almost, for all of us, just canceled the destination. And it's almost like we had to really start again to say, okay, why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? How do I want to get here? Why do I want to get here? And so the idea going forward is that even for our roundtable sessions, by the way, Kojo, it wasn't meant to be something that happened virtually and in person. The idea was that we were going to move around West African countries, right? Either quarterly or, you know, biannually, et cetera, right? And do one in Accra, and then do another one in Gambia, and then do another one in Abidjan, you know, and have those sessions where we're having practitioners, et cetera, come across within the country, but also others visiting. That has had to be adapted to the realities on ground. So COVID has really made all of us a bit more innovative, a bit more agile, a bit more adaptive. And so the idea going forward is that while we are not achieving the real objective of the roundtables in the sense of we're not traveling, we've looked at how we can achieve these objectives within the constraint that we have, knowing that in terms of what we really want to achieve, industry knowledge, professionalization, collaboration, partnership, we can still do that within the limitations. And our hope is that our partners, our supporters, our collaborators, our participants can also look at this and say, okay, I can also lead and champion a cause, right? One thing we've started is this public sector engagement committee. The idea is that we're going to create a toolkit for that, from that, for that, based on our experience, and other people in different places can then champion. But more than that, is that I'm hoping that people from Ghana can say, okay, this is what we've done, and we add to it, okay, this is how it works in Ghana, this is how it works here. And then we'll have the example for the tourism industry of how the industry has done, has engaged with the public sector, that other industries can also look at, you see. So it's that sense of also seeing how we can contribute to, you know, enhancing a bit the quality of life, one, but also enhancing a bit our contributions to our environment in terms of our business environment.
Now, with an wonderful initiative such as yours, and some of the things happening in the sub-region, what is the projection of tourism in West Africa in the next 5 years? I mean, I know there's COVID, but again, because there's a new wave and a new sense of the private sector and the public sector understanding what tourism can do. What is your projection of the sector?
Right, my projection of the sector is actually quite positive. You know, I would say it's quite optimistic. Cautiously so, because we still have COVID in the world today, and it means that recovery will take some time. But I'm encouraged by the steps that are being taken by governments across the region, particularly as we're seeing that there's now this appreciation for domestic tourism. What it means is that we're looking at developing our destinations, we're looking at managing these destinations, and we're looking at making sure our destinations are attractive to our residents. And that is the key for sustainable tourism. That is the anchor for sustainable tourism. Your residents, your people within your country should be able to travel and partake in these tourism products before you can expect others to do so, because it means that they feel they're part of it and they can see how they directly benefit from it. One word of caution, though, is I would like to suggest that we need to ensure that we look at destination competitiveness, even within the sub-region. We're working on a report on that, which is based on the WEF Travel and Tourism Competitiveness Report, and saying that how do we ensure for health, for example, with COVID, health has become to the fore. How do we start to look at opportunities in travel insurance, health and travel insurance for West African travelers? How do we start to create safer destinations where people know that if things go wrong, there's an ombudsman, there's a place that they can go to ensure that things are, you know, corrected? How do we ensure that there's security, the perception of security and the management of it? And more, how do we ensure that our tourism facilities are accessible across age, socioeconomic status, and disabilities? Because I would like to say that one conversation we're not having enough of is how to ensure that our tourism really is inclusive. So what I'm saying is I see the future as exciting, a lot of opportunity, it's fertile ground, right? And we can really play in this field as we want. It's important that we have strategic plans to guide us. And it's important that we anchor this on sustainable tourism principles.
As we wrap up our conversation, okay, on a lighter side, can you tell us more about yourself and what you've been doing? I know you've been anchoring the roundtable and some initiatives, but who is Dr. Adun? I hope I got the name right. It's still around.
Yes.
Tell me more about yourself.
Right. that's a good question. Right. Adun is, I love nature. You know, most of my weekends I spend in nature, which is difficult in Lagos. So you can imagine the efforts I go to ensure that I spend it with trees, plants. But also I also teach at Lagos Business School. I teach strategic management and sustainability. And I have two dogs who really kept me company during the COVID-19 pandemic, as you can imagine. And you know, sometimes I say that having animals help you to really see what is important in life, because they don't worry, they don't stress. What they see, what you see is what you get. And they just approach every minute. They seize the minutes. That minute is all they think about. They're not thinking about what am I doing tomorrow, next week, etc. And they really help to, you know, create that sense of seizing the day and extracting from every minute the best that you can. And apart from that, I would say that what else? I love travel, as I guess one should. And I'm very excited and passionate about the potential that we have in West Africa, not just for tourism, but for life as a whole. And finally, I would say that the most important thing, the essence for me of life, is that we should enhance the quality of our lives and also the lives of others around us. And that in whatever we do, we must always try to ensure that we're trying to get to this, because that is really what gives us fulfillment. I have seen tourism as that vehicle, as you have, and it's, you know, for everybody it's going to be different. But that's really what drives me every single day. How can I enjoy life, and how can I enhance the experience of others to enjoy this life that we've been given?
Dr. Adun, thank you so much for making time to speak to us, and hope to catch up again, because travel is bad. I think so. I think we have to learn how to live with the virus, and then we can get tourism going.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Kojo, for this conversation. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.